This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. If you're a fan of MPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today I have with me on Skype
Joe Hollander.
And I am Stuart Burks. Okay, Joe, we're talking about the work of the Palmerston North Defence Heritage Advisory Group and all their activities. We've covered major events in a previous recording, but there's lots of other things that the group is involved in. Yeah,
that's right, Stuart. One of the things I mentioned was our anniversaries and commemorations. We were asked by the City Council to put a five-year program together, just indicating what events and activities were likely to commence from 2020 through to 2025. And so we've done this, and it includes things like Anzac Day, Armistice Day, which I've spoken about previously, but also a number of other programs that we've got, like the monthly midday military history presentations that we hold at the City Library in Event Central on the second Thursday of each month. And these go through a whole list of different military history events and activities. And we try and tie these into anniversaries, like we started off this year with a presentation on New Zealand's involvement in the Boer War to commemorate the 120th anniversary. A number of other presentations this year will commemorate the likes of the 75th anniversary of victory in Europe, also victory in Japan. Later in the year, the 70th anniversary of the Korean War, and so on. So these presentations have just grown like topsy over the last 6 or 7 years that we've been running them.
Yeah, they're very popular. I recall you've been moving into a larger and larger space each time because of the growing audience. Yeah,
absolutely. The audience keeps growing all the time. But, I mean, Stuart, you've experienced some of these as well as recorded them, and you'll know the sort of varied nature of the topics, but they're all very very topical.
Well, you've got very experienced and very well-informed historians talking about these things. And as you mentioned recording, you have some recordings up on your webpage, and are you planning to put some on the Manawatu Heritage site as well?
Yeah. I've spoken to the Heritage team about that, and whilst it's not specific to Manawatu, they're happy to link it through to our engineer website, and if people want to have a look at it, because we've got a huge amount of other heritage military history material up there, it's a very simple one, www.nzsappers.org.nz, and you can have a look at that. We're growing that one all the time. Over the next few years, we're also looking at things like, for example, in 2021, linked into the 150th anniversary of Palmerston North City being formed, for some sort of a major charter parade, beating of the retreat ceremony performed by the two charter partners from Linton Camp and RNZAF Base Ahakia.
Now use the term charter partners. What does that mean?
Well, back in it would have been around about the mid to late 1950s. The charter was issued to Linton Camp and similarly to Ahakia by the Palmerston North City. It's a sort of a heraldic type thing, which means that the military forces can enter the city with bayonets fixed, swords drawn, you know, for ceremonial purposes. and then get inspected by the mayor. And it, you know, puts on a bit of a bit of an occasion. We have had these in Palmerston North on and off now since I think the charter was issued to Lynn's in the Back in 1957, from memory. And it is quite a spectacle. A few years ago, we had a charter parade in the square, and then later on that Saturday, early December, I think it was 2016 or 17, and then they had a beating of the retreat ceremony with a, you know, the gun salute and the 1812 overture also in the square, and it was quite a public spectacle. Well, we're planning on doing something like that for the city's sesquicentennial commemorations in next year in March. And then in 2022, what have we got? We've got, we were planning a major conference, which now looks like it might be held in Auckland, but you know, we're looking for something that involves the two charter partners again in some form of spectacle for the local community. Certainly in 2023, which happens to coincide with the centennial of the establishment of the New Zealand Permanent Air Force, Ahaki is looking at putting on perhaps another air show.
I remember, yeah. I remember the last one. Yeah, there was issues with access, wasn't there?
Yeah, traffic and such like. I think they choked up the whole. Yeah, the whole of State Highway 1, north and south.
Yeah, I think there was one main access, so so a lot of people were watching all the planes from the roadside, yeah. But it was a big event, very popular, and probably far more popular than the people expected, than the Air Force expected.
Absolutely. So, anyway, as I say, we've got this five-year program that we're developing, and more information will emerge on that. In the other area that we're dealing with in the memorials, signage and trails, there are quite a number of areas that we're covering. For example, the New Zealand Remembrance Army, which is the service graves restoration program amongst our cemeteries around Palmerston North. For example, out at the Kelvin Grove Cemetery, there's something like 1,500 service graves out there. Many of them are in a very poor state of repair or a poor state. And so what we've managed to do is put an agreement between the RSA and the City Council to enable a team to go out there on Wednesday afternoons and Saturday mornings and just slowly restore a lot of the graves. And so far the team have completed around about 200 of these. Many of them where there are no family links left. I mean, some of the early graves in Terrace End, some of them date back to the Armed Constabulary in the New Zealand Wars. And certainly there won't be too many relatives left around there.
Now, you mentioned service graves. Does that mean there's a special area for ex-servicemen to be buried?
Yes. Yeah, it's like the RSA section for... you know, returned and services people who were either killed overseas, repatriated, or died as a result of war wounds, hospitalisation back in New Zealand, and anybody who has served in the armed forces or been a member of the RSA is entitled to be buried in a service area, service section of a cemetery.
Does that create a conflict for families? You know, should someone be buried in that area or in a family plot?
None whatsoever. I mean, it's entirely over to the family. The family normally makes that selection if they're in a position to do so. And if they're not, then it's left over to the RSA and they do try and do the right thing. So there's the... there's that program going on. There's also the Awapuni Medical Memorial, which has been recognised by Heritage New Zealand as a heritage classified memorial. We're just about to install the Heritage New Zealand plaque on that.
It's a memorial for what?
This was the memorial for the medical corps and the veterinary service that was established there during World War One.
Oh, it was based in Awapuni, Rob.
Yep. Awapuni was where the New Zealand Medical Corps was established.
Yeah, okay. Whereabouts in Awapuni?
Oh, on the race course.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what, they were all out in tents there or something?
Yep.
Or?
Yep, they were. And in fact, second to Featherstone Camp over in the Wairarapa, it was the second largest training camp in New Zealand during World War One.
Wow.
And so there's a very, you know, a lot of military history associated with that over the period 1914-1919. And so there was a memorial established there back in 1929, which unfortunately was left to go to wreck and ruin. Well, it's now been restored, and it was rededicated back in 2016. Mm. And the race course basically left to look after it. So, you know, you can go down to the race course and have a look at it. It's quite open. It's quite a magnificent memorial. But all of these sort of memorials also need to be listed on the district plan for the city council so that they can eventually be looked after by the council.
Now, there's these days, we think, if we think of the army, we think of Linton Camp. But you're mentioning these other sorts of things. How old is Linton Camp? Was it important at that stage as well, or is it something that's coming more recently? No.
Linton Camp wasn't established until 1942. It was taken under the Public Works Act in 1942 from, you know, farmland, and was established at that time. So certainly doesn't have anywhere near the same history as other parts of Palmerston North.
Mm. Okay.
Memorial Park, over the other side of the city, Memorial Park was a World War II memorial, and that's in the process of being redeveloped. And over the next 2 to 3 years, you'll see quite a big improvement there, together with a lot of the World War II memorial aspects. It used to have a plinth and a memorial there that was taken down back in the 1970s, because the material, the structure, just wouldn't stand up and crumbled, and secondly, at that time, the community weren't prepared to get in behind it and fund the repairs. So the obelisk that used to be there that was opened, back in the 1950s, it no longer exists. And this just goes to show you what can happen if nobody looks out for a lot of these memorials.
So there's anyway, a generational thing, do you think?
Yeah, I think it probably was. But at that time, during the Vietnam War period, there wasn't a lot of support for that sort of thing. And so the community wasn't prepared to get in behind it and repair the memorial. And it just got taken away as a health and safety risk, and it has now disappeared.
Yeah.
So we're looking at putting a hero's trail through the Memorial Park with around about 10 men and women who have been identified as important personages during the World War II period from Palmerston North. Mm. And this covers a whole range of whether they were in the nursing profession, in the political area, Maori leadership, even conscientious objectors, so that that history is going to be protected. And it'll probably be a trail with shadow boards and photo boards and that sort of information.
Okay.
So be used for education purposes.
Hmm.
Another important area is CET Arena. As I mentioned earlier on, the showgrounds was used extensively during World War One and World War Two. And then in between that time as well, there's quite a lot of military history of that area, and so that needs to be looked at, as well as the Cuba Street redevelopment.
You meant, now I'm just saying, in future these things are going to have different names. So it was the Showgrounds, then it's CET Arena, which is Central Energy Trust Arena?
Correct.
And that's just off with Pascal and Waldegrave Streets and Cuba Street?
Yep.
That area. Okay. Sure. What heritage down Cuba Street?
Well, the old Soldiers Club which became the RSA, was established on the corner of George and Cuba Street back in May 1916. You know, the Cuba Cafe building upstairs there, that upstairs was the old Soldiers Club.
Okay, on the square side of George Street up by Cuba Street,
On that Cuba-George corner. That's also a heritage recognised building. Following down Cuba Street between the club and the showgrounds was quite an important military trail. It was always used, you know, as an access to the square. For example, when the 28 Māori Battalion was formed in 1940, Anzac Day that year, they actually marched from the showgrounds where they were billeted or, you know, under canvas, up Cuba Street to the square for the Anzac Day service, and then, of course, back to the RSA. And the old Carlton Hotel and, you know, places like that have quite an important history.
Is it the Māori Battalion Hall there as well?
Yes, it is. And, you know, again, that's another feature opposite the old showgrounds, the arena, where the Māori Battalion Hall was established there back in, I think it was 1964. But it also happens to be a John Scott building. He was a Māori architect that designed the building, and it's got some particular features which, you know, to architects are quite important.
Yeah, it's certainly distinctive from the outside, and it's a nice display place inside. But I'm not sure what it's used for these days. It was
quite a lot of activity. It's had all sorts of, it's had a history all on its own. We could probably spend an hour talking about it, but I believe that there's some health activity down there. Used to be the Polytech and some other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poppy Places Trust, you know, the poppy signage about the city, another project that we've been overseeing. Yeah. And there are about 36 of them around town, or 31 around town, and another 36 out in Linton.
Okay. Has that finished now? I know each year they were adding a few more, but have they completed
over
that?
Over the last 4 or 5 years, we've pretty much finished all of the Palmerston North streets. And we're now working on Linton. We did the first 11 Armistice Day last year, and we've got another 24, 25 to do.
Okay, and what was the basis for choosing those?
There's a criteria laid down on the Poppy Places website where anything that is connected to any military history, whether it's the, you know, Boer War, World War One, World War Two, or since, where there was a named connection with a military event or a significant individual. And you can see them all around Palmerston North now. If they comply with those criteria, we get the council to put the Poppy Place street sign on.
Is this unique to Palmerston North?
No. It's slowly growing throughout the rest of the country. The other areas where it's widely used that I know of is Hastings, Waipukara, Upper Hutt. There are some parts of Auckland that have started. Wellington is also looking at it, Christchurch. So it's slowly growing. I can't remember the exact figure for all around the country, but if you have a look at the Poppy Places website, you can certainly tell it is growing. We've got the cycleway walkway out to Linton. That's another one that is linked to Linton Camp. There are a number of other memorials around Palmerston North, and what we're trying to do is make sure that the City Council has those on their district plan so that we don't lose sight of them. If we get into the area of the military heritage and history presentations, and I've already talked about the midday ones, we also have a number of evening public lectures, about 3 or 4 a year, depending on visiting renowned, you know, historians. In the past, we've had some exceptionally important people like Sir Hugh Strawn from Oxford University, Professor Ray Winter from Harvard University. We had Professor Gary Sheffield here last year from Wolverhampton University in the UK, and quite a number from Australia. When these individuals are out here in New Zealand doing research, we try and attract them here to Palmerston North to give public presentations, and we've been very lucky over the last few years for that to happen. Now, just mentioning that also, we have the city's heritage team at the library have put together a range of heritage tours. Now there is two military heritage tours. It's an application on the City Council website, and that covers all of these Poppy Places streets, including there's a women's heritage tour as well of Palmerston North, and that protects a lot of the history. And of course, your recordings of our proceedings being put up on the engineer website also protects that. We've got the World War One Centenary History Project, where there were 14 books, of which, where are we at now? 11 have been published and released and launched. Some of them actually launched here in New Zealand by well-known military historians. And we've only got three to go to complete the set of 14 over the last sort of 5 or 6 years.
And this is a New Zealand focus, is it, by New Zealand historians?
Yes, yeah. It's looking at New Zealand, you know, activity during World War One. Late last year, they launched the book War at Home, you know, what happened here on the home front, which was very interesting. And there was a lot of research done covering Palmerston North in that. There's the war in the air, there's the war at sea, there's the ones to follow, war against the Ottoman Empire, you know, something about the New Zealand Expeditionary Force during World War One, and they'll get published over the next couple of years.
Okay.
A lot of conferences occur. Of course, the Palmerston North Heritage Trust runs a history group forum every June. And this involves, you know, our input on the military history side of the house.
Yeah.
We've just had a major conference in Wellington covering World War II late last month, and this was highly successful. And so that's why we keep in touch with Professor Glenn Harper up at Massey University and Dr. David Littlewood from both the War Studies and History departments, and they give us the input whenever somebody of note is travelling locally. Then we try and get hold of them for that purpose. For the planning matters, we have a number of planning things. I've already mentioned the district plan for listing all the memorials. I actually report to the Arts, Culture and Heritage Committee for their quarterly meetings, and they look out for our military heritage input. There's another interesting thing where the military heritage theme will continue to be incorporated into all future city council projects, capital developments and other activities. This is something that the council signed off to a couple of years ago, and as a result, I meet with the planners, city planners, on a quarterly basis to make sure that we keep on top of it.
So what does that mean? What does it involve?
It involves all of the heritage strategy that's in the city council protocols to make sure that we're actually following those and doing what the council has indicated that they want to do for heritage. So anything that is of a military heritage nature will get looked after and not, you know, not missed out.
Okay. So you have representation on various committees and so on to ensure that that happens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, in a nutshell, we cover quite a big area. As I say, you know, Palmerston North has an incredible military heritage and military history. And so this is what we've been looking after. And it's sort of grown year by year to make sure that all of these things are looked after.
That's very impressive, actually. I think it's very good. And you, so who are the key figures involved in driving this? Obviously, you've got a central part with you. In fact, you've not talked about your role with the out at Linton Camp with the museum there.
Oh, well, I chair the Engineer Charitable Trust, but I also manage the museum, Engineer Museum that we've got out there, which is a very popular place. We've had well over 8,000 visitors through the place over the last few years. As long as the camp remains open, they're quite happy to support us. But second to the Army Museum, the facility out there is a quite a big one. Just focuses on military engineering, but a lot of that is associated with the history of New Zealand, so that's quite important.
Is that available to the public?
Yes, it is.
They just turn up. It's open for normal hours, and you just turn up.
Yeah, every Thursday. Every Thursday only during the week it's open. Normally between, 8:30 and 4:30. But if people want to turn up, it's always a good idea to email us or call us. Information about it is up on that website that I mentioned earlier on, the nzsappers.org.nz website. So people can have a look at that. The other people involved are the defence portfolio from the City Council. That's Councillor Lou Finlay, who leads that group. So there's Lou, Pat Hancock, and Rachel Bowen. They represent that. There's Leslie Courtney, who represents the heritage team on the City Library. You have Wiramu Te Awi Awi representing Rangatahi, somebody from the brigade headquarters at Linton Camp, somebody from the Ahakia base headquarters. I mean, Cedar, the Chamber of Commerce, the Defence Hub, Massey University, Te Manawa, Māori Battalion Hall, Heritage New Zealand Manawatū organisation, there's CBD, Palmerston North RSA. These are all the people who are involved in the advisory group.
Good to see it so well organised, especially when there's so much to focus on. So an lot of really good activities. So let's hope in the future you're able to put them on rather than us being shut down with this virus, as seems to be increasing. In fact, while we're recording, the virus level has been ramped up from 2 to 3, and shortly it'll be up to 4. But we're at time now, so thank you very much for participating, Joe, and interesting to see how it goes over Skype instead of face-to-face. Stay safe and healthy, and catch you again another time.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Thanks for the opportunity. Cheers. Look after yourself.
Thank you for listening to Manawatū Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatū People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatū Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.